Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Can y'all help me? Put your hands together. Come on. Can you hear the sound of freedom? We're free because the curse of sin has been broken. And Jesus Christ has set us free.
wonderful, wonderful. We are alive in Christ and we have the victory. We're here another week, another day, and I'm thankful to be back with you. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and once again, it is my fabulous pleasure to be with you and to experience another week where we can learn and grow together. God's Word is all about us learning and growing and being nurtured by Him. He is wonderful and He is fabulous. And if you don't know that, hopefully by the end of this show, you will get a little inkling of that. Because this show is designed for those who may be going through difficult periods of life, confusing periods of life, and sometimes you just feel like giving up. And I'm here to say, don't give up. God is in your corner if you just hold on to His loving hands. And speaking of love, we're continuing along the lines of relationships. We're going to be speaking with Toni Henderson-Meyers today, and she's the author of Wise Courtship. And we have heard a lot of things over the past weeks regarding love and romance, but this book really is a book of wisdom, and it is a book of preparation. And so, Toni, welcome. I'm glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I never think it's a coincidence when I run across someone or if they reach out to me. And I really had an enjoyable time speaking with you. And you are a PK, a preacher's kid, but you debunk the myth of what that is. Tell us a little bit about your home life, the childhood that you had growing up with your mom and dad.
Well, my childhood was a very happy one at home. My father, as you already indicated, was a pastor. He's been deceased now for about 28 years, but the time that he was with us, his presence was very strong. He was very loving, as well as being a leader and an example in the church. He was just such a great leader and example at home. I mean, he did everything from providing for us, as well as cooking and cleaning and telling jokes and just, you know, he just was a great, great person. My mom as well, she was just this lady, and she's still living to this day, thank God. She is just such a wonderful example of a Christian woman, just outstanding. Mm. She's still a career woman now, but she was home with us, raising us, and then we've got the chance to see her as a career woman. Wonderful wisdom and advice, strong leader in the church, just a wonderful person. And I just had a wonderful life at home with my family.
Well, that is a wonderful thing to have, and I think so often on this show we tend to have people who have gone through some really serious struggles, and it's good to know that there are those of us who have had really great, strong home families and upbringings, because I think that that vision really helps to build stronger families and stronger communities going forward, and we can see that in terms of the book that you've produced. But before I even get to that, what about your husband? I know you've been married for how long now?
It'll be 20 years in a few months, which is just so unbelievable because time just goes by so quickly, but 20 years.
Well, that's a very beautiful thing. So now, did he have the same fortune of growing up in a two-parent household?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He had both his mother and father. They were hard workers, very nice people. He just lost his dad last year, but he lived a very long time, and they both were married. At the time that we got married or was just about to get married, they were celebrating 45 years at that time. Mm-hmm. So when his dad passed, they probably celebrated somewhere between 60 and 63 years in marriage.
Wow. That's a beautiful thing. I know many would love to say that, and some can't even fathom that, but that is a very beautiful thing. And I'm glad to hear that in 2014, that is something that is still being realized by families. And we don't hear it enough, and I think sometimes we give the bullhorn too much in the other direction. I think we need to really shine a light on those who are being faithful and staying in it. And part of the reason for that success, though, is going into relationship wisely. Thus, the title of your book. Tell us a little bit about Wise Courtship and what the title means and who the book is for.
Well, Wise Courtship was something that I really, really believe that the Lord gave to me. Over the years, I began to be a little frustrated when I saw family, friends, associates, just people you care about, church members, especially the body of Christ, who were really struggling in the areas of relationships. And I mean all types of relationships, not just romantic relationships, but just all types of relationships, and especially when it really penetrated through the body of Christ, I really became concerned. The title, Wise Courtship, I tried to make the title really explain what it is, and it's about courtship. It's about building a relationship with someone, but to be really proactive in your choice, you know, to really take the time and to do the due diligence to really build a meaningful relationship, and to also to seek God for the ultimate wisdom as to who you really need to spend your life with. And so because of that, that book was born, and hopefully I was faithful to the title as I gave some advice in the book.
Well, actually, I'd like you to actually fine-tune that for us a little more, because courtship, you know, in some ways it's such an old word, old school word, so to speak, but it's packed with meaning. And we live in a dating society, maybe even less than a dating society nowadays. So what is the difference between dating and courtship?
When one is dating, which is really utilized now, you know, the word dating, and I believe, too, that when people are dating, the younger you are, you may cling to that title, dating, but the older you are, you ought to be clinging more to the title, courtship, although I think it would serve both groups very well. But dating, you know, when you go out with a person and you're just dating, you're really just shopping around. Oh, I might call you back the next day. I may not. I may just go out with you because I don't have anything else to do, or I didn't really take seriously, you know, who you are. You know, you look good, so I'm going to go out with you. You know, it could be any myriad of reasons why you go out with that person, but it's really not focused. But when you are courting someone, you are saying that this person would make a great candidate for someone that I may want to spend the rest of my life with in a long-term relationship, in a marriage. And so when you do that, there is a whole different approach that you take when you go out. You're not just taking anyone out. You're taking someone out special because this is someone you may ultimately decide that you're going to spend your time with. So you just treat them differently because the end result, you're looking at the end result.
And, you know, in terms of dating, I think a good point has been made that a lot of times now people are looking more so at what they can get out of it, you know, what you look like, can I get a free meal, I want to see that movie,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is deeper. You're actually trying to connect with that person to see if this is a lifelong partner. What are some of the things one could do to open their heart and their mind to prepare for, even before the person shows up? You know, how can you begin to know if you're even ready?
Yeah, there is a section in my book that I talk about, you know, are you ready? And it's actually something that I may and probably will expand into a further book, because that is a whole topic in of itself, and it's one that I think we tend to brush over, but it's something that we really need to take the time. You know, we would really love just hooking up with someone else, going right into a relationship with someone else. It's really natural. But when we're talking about spending the rest of our life with someone, having a long-term relationship with someone, we really want to be introspective. Sit down, seek the Lord, pray, and say, am I really ready? and be very honest with ourselves. Because let's face it, we can't see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, it's just like looking at yourself in the mirror and trying to look at the back of yourself. You can't see the back. You know, you have to turn, and even when you turn, you can only see portions of it. You can't see the complete back, and that's just like trying to see ourselves. We can't see how other people see us. And so the only way to really see ourselves truly, and friends can be very helpful, but to really see ourselves from the outside and from the inside, we really have to seek the Lord. So we really want to take that time to sit down with him and say, hey, tell me about myself. You know, you may not know you have a bad attitude. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that you don't know that you are frivolous with money. You know, it's possible mm-hmm. that you're not aware that when you are at a level where you could be successful, you keep knocking yourself back down. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, those are some things that you will not be able to uncover unless you seek the Lord and you really sit down and take the time to say, am I ready? Am I ready financially, emotionally, spiritually? Am I ready?
So it appears to me that the first person that you would actually have to be open with is the Lord. You really have to go before him very honestly. And, you know, like David said, you know, reveal my inward, you know, sins, the unknown
yes.
things that are in my
Absolutely.
Heart. And I'm going to play this next production. When we get back, we're going to go into even more detail.
Great.
Thank you.
That's the first step to opening up yourself to someone in your life, would be to open up your heart to the one who created you. God the Father has created a space in every one of our hearts that has the same need, and that need is for him. And so that's where we all need to begin. And I love telling you on this show that Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth
mm-hmm.
and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And that's where the relationship begins. And what prayer is exactly what that song was saying. You just simply go before the Father and open up your heart. Allow him to reveal your heart to you so that you can get to know yourself. And it may sound like, oh, she has all the answers, but no, I say these things to help remind me and help me to do exactly that, because we need to stay very close. Tony, you were just saying before the break how important it is for us to see all those sides of ourselves. And I'm thinking that we can also get caught up in perfectionism, though. We can, you know, some people don't look in the mirror long enough, and other people just stay in the mirror and just continue to scrutinize every little thing. And there's this perfectionism thing that's like, well, I can't have that special someone in my life until I master this and this and this. And then when I'm great at everything, then the Lord will be able to bless me with someone. What do you say to that type of mentality?
Well, we know that no one's perfect but Christ himself. But, you know, if we were waiting for perfection, I guess none of us would be in relationships. But you're never going to be where you should be. We're always striving to try to get where we should be. You know, say that you're going to have the perfect body and then you'll get married. You know, it doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, if you are really focused on being perfect for yourself and the other person being perfect, you're really going to run into a lot of trouble. The key is, if you could fall in love with someone and accept them for who they are, flaws and all. And we're not talking about harmful things. You know, we're not talking about abuse and those type of things, neglect and those things. But I'm talking about, you know, flaws. Person doesn't balance their checkbook well, and it's not, you know, running you into so much debt that you guys are living out on the street. But, you know, you figure, hey, you're not really good at that, I'll do that. You know, and actually that's how couples work along together. It's just where someone is weak in something, the other one may be strong, and that's always a good thing, you know. But to love people in spite of, like Christ loves us, he loves us just the way we are. And we want to have that type of love for a person, but it's balanced. There's a balance of being able to challenge the person to be their best as well. So you don't swing too far to the left and you don't swing too far to the right. There's a balance there. But we never expect perfection out of people, because no human being is perfect but Christ himself.
You know, our relationship with God is actually training ground for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I had Stéphane Le Boursier on the show a few weeks ago, and he's the author of a book called Where is My Boaz? And a lot of women are always asking that question. It's like the pinnacle Bible story of what every woman wants, is, you know, to find that husband who is going to adore her and love her and take care of her and be a good role model himself. And, you know, I can see the perfectionist mindset falling into play there. But sometimes when women talk about their Boaz, they really want something to come speedy and quick and right away. How does real time work in terms of wise courtship? Does it necessarily have to take years to know a person? You know, because I know one of your chapters says, you know, how well do you know this person? How well do you know them? Elaborate on that chapter.
Well, I believe the younger you are, the more time it's going to take, and the older you are, the shorter amount of time it should take.
Oh, that's
good. Because you should know yourself a lot better. Now, of course, we're always surprising ourselves, you know, because we can be 40, 50 years old and say, I didn't know I liked that. You know, I didn't know I would want to do that. but we should have a greater handle on who we are. So it shouldn't take as much time, you know, to get to know someone the older that we get, because we should be able to cut through a lot of things. We should pretty much have a handle on what we want. So the way we select it is a lot different. But, you know, when you're younger, it may take longer, so you have to ask different types of questions. And actually, those questions have to be very strategic, because you're talking about years far ahead of you. When you're older, you may have accomplished some things already, so then there's a different question. When I was first dating, it was a different set of questions I wanted to ask. I wanted to know if he was going to be more of a family man, because, see, I was going to be building a family. You know, people might want to know about jobs. They might want to know about different things that you may do to build together. But if I was to be get married now, I wouldn't be thinking about, are you a great father per se? Maybe, you know, over the children that you already have. But I'm thinking with different eyes now, because I'm moving forward from a different perspective. So the time really depends on the individuals that are involved, the ages that they are, the state of life that they are in. But if you're asking enough questions and you're really getting to know the person, you'll know when you've gotten a good base of information.
You know, I was just going to say that I'm the kind of person who I like books, I like reading, and I like things to be spelled out for me. It makes it very easy, and I guess it also helps when you have that controlling or fear of perfection kind of thing, that if you have a list to follow, then you can't make a mistake. And I think a lot of the books that are out do try to provide lists for people, but we're all very unique. You really focus on prioritizing who you are and what your needs are. And so how can someone really, you know, tune in?
Well, this goes back to the work that you do up front. Did you do the due diligence to know who you are? Because once you know who you are, then the list would be different for you than it may be for me. Most of us want to know if the person's working or have a job, you know, so that might be in general. But some of us are more concerned about building families. Others might be more concerned about, you know, do you like the theater? Because, you know, I spend most of my time on stage and, you know, that type of thing. It's really, really a big part of your life. Another person is strong into ministry because they are into the ministry, and they need to know if this person that they're with will be a support system to that. So that list may be different than someone else's list. They're not in ministry. And so, you know, you have to kind of know yourself well and what is very, very important to you. You know, what are the top five things that, I mean, you just got to have? I mean, in order for you to function in your life and feel like you are you and alive, that is how that list would take shape, if you will.
Right, right. So it's not something on a movie screen, guys. It's not something in a magazine. You've got to really get you before yourself and God and really know what these qualities and these needs are. I think for a long time, it took me a long time to kind of think of relationship as a need versus a want. I looked at it as God thinking that it was a luxury item and that, you know, for some reason it wasn't something we really needed, but that's not biblical, nor is it true. I want to find out more about you personally, though. I mean, you mentioned that you dated a little bit, and that you've been married to your husband for 20 years. What was your courtship period like?
Wow. when I first met my husband, I knew of him, like he was around. I owned my own business, and I knew of him. But when I finally really knew him or got to start to get to know him, it was totally unexpected. And I saw him, and it wasn't, you know, with some of us, oh, he's so attractive. He was attractive. But I guess at that age, and, you know, you just that's not what you're thinking about. And it just wasn't on my mind. And my sister happened to be giving a show, and she needed some actors. So he was one of the ones that I sent over, not really knowing him that well. You know, I'm just sending a group of actors over. So he ends up getting cast, and I'm in the cast as well. And after a while, you know, watching him act and different things like that, I heard a voice clear as a bell. So I was talking to you and said, "That is your husband." And I sat straight up with two long braids in my hair. I had Timberland boots on and some jeans. I was really a tomboy. And I'm a grown woman sitting like that. I sat straight up in my chair and was like, and then I got smart with the Lord. I said, "Well, if it is, you're going to have to put us together because I'm not running after anybody."
Well,
and
yeah.
My feet ended up getting so sore. All of a sudden, my feet were hurting. So I started walking funny, and my sister said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "My feet are bothering me." So she said at the top of her voice, "Can somebody drive my sister home? Because her feet hurt." And he said, "I will." So from that point on, he would drive me home, and we got to know each other, and we dated. Now, after 2 months of dating, right away was courtship for me. I went out with him after the ride home. You know, I got to know him. So when he asked me, I said, "Yeah, I think he would be a good person." So
Do you think courtship also? I'm sorry to interrupt, but was he thinking courtship also? Were you on the same page?
You know, I'm going to be quite honest. I don't know what he was thinking at the time he asked me the first time, but by the first date, I know he was. So then after 2 months, he asked me to marry him.
Wow.
And so I slowed it down as far as the engagement period. I made it a year, but we were full grown. He was 31 and I was 28 years old. So,
okay.
But I still made the engagement period a year to make sure I knew what I thought I knew. And at the time I was using wise courtship skills and didn't even realize it. And I was using those wise courtship skills because that whole first date, we did nothing but talk the entire time. I don't even think I finished my food, and that's rare for me.
So that sounds fantastic. I love the fact that, you know, at this moment where God reveals this to you, you are not, you know, in your best perfection, right?
No.
The hair is not done, the clothes aren't done, but that's not the thing that mattered. And I'm going to actually take a break and play another song and come right back. But we're not perfect, God is, but we can be perfect with him.
You are the potter and I am the clay. You found me broken and still found a way to mold me back in to what I'm supposed to be. Other people walked away, but you stayed because you see. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect for you. You love me despite of all I have gone through. You gave your life so that one day I would see. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect with you, 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 perfect with you. You answered prayers I forgot I had prayed. You kept the dreams that I had thrown away. When I missed the mark, Lord, you still met the need. Other people walked away, but you stayed because you see. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect for you. You love me despite of all I have gone through. You gave your life so that one day I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect with you. You wrap me in your arms, you treat me like your own. I'm never left alone. Oh, you're watching. me, it's making me believe in what you see. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect for you. You love me despite of all I have gone through. You gave your life so that one day I would see. I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect with you. You, you, I'm perfect with you. You, you, I'm perfect with you.
Now I want to ask you, you know, can you give us an example of a time in your marriage that you can trace back and think, because of the fact you took the time in courtship to communicate, to talk things out, to look at yourselves, that you were able to make it through a difficult time, or you were able to be strengthened because of that courtship piece?
Yes, I do. My husband has an extremely powerful testimony that I hope that he will be sharing soon. He does with certain populations of people, and it's extremely powerful. I just will never forget some years back. He found himself in a situation, no fault of his own, very, very serious, and he was really, I believe, was spiritual warfare and a spiritual attack. And it was really attacking his character. And at that time, I could have looked at the situation, and I think anyone would have said, I don't blame you if you walk away.
Mm.
Because it was very serious. But because of a conversation, actually several conversations, that we had during courtship, because of that conversation, I knew that the attack on his character could not have been correct.
Mm.
And I literally reflected back at that time. And you know, it's funny because when you're praying and, you know, when things like that, you're praying, you're crying, you know, you're seeking the Lord. And thank God we do those things. We have to do those things because he took my mind back to that conversation. And I knew then that gave me the strength to stand. I said, it's not correct. It's not true. Because if he told me that, then I know this couldn't have been true. And so that's what I stood on, and I also asked the Lord to guide me. And, of course, everything got cleared up. Everything was wonderful, and we went on, and it made us so much stronger. And I even said to him, you know, it was so great that you were so open and so honest from day one, because if you had not been, that would have been the very thing that could have just ripped everything apart. So it's so extremely important to take that courtship time very seriously, because it has a way of, you know, coming back in one way or another. Maybe not that serious, it'll be coming back in some other way, but it has a way of either keeping you glued together or bringing you apart.
Right. No, I think that's a very good example, because those are the things that get into us. You know, it's the little whispers, you know, the little tears that really destroy, because if you don't have that trust, if you can't look back and say, you know, this person has shown me who they are, and I know without a shadow of a doubt this part of who they are. And you also, I would assume, stood by him and also created an environment where you guys were able to thrive. Can you talk about creating an environment, even before marriage, during the courtship period? How do you create a healthy a nurturing environment to allow for that growth and trust to come out?
Well, once you have consulted the Lord, you've done your due diligence, and then you have gotten yourself into a situation where you are beginning a courtship, you know, it's at the very, very infancy stage, you want to ask enough questions, and the book goes through this, you want to ask enough questions, you know, see what you see, and you want to know what you know, and all of those types of things. Once you've done those things, that gives you a good base to say, now I believe I'm safe to start opening up even more. And once you get to that point where you can be safe to open up, then you want to take advantage of it and open up, be honest, talk about things, enjoy one another, you know, the conversations with one another, find out what the person, you know, loves to do, you know, embrace what they love to do, keep it a safe environment for them to open up, to share not only just faults and fears and weaknesses, but also goals and dreams and visions. They have to be, you know, comfortable to share those things. So that is how you start to build a healthy environment. You have to do all of that work first to get to that point. But once you get to that point where you can see that it's starting to be safe to open, then you want to go ahead and step through that door. Because sometimes people, you have that door and you can be open, but they still stay closed because maybe past experiences or maybe past hurt or what have you. And then some of us open up too quickly without building the foundation to make sure it's going to be stable and safe.
Right, and you also want to, you know, you do want to observe. You want to make sure that, you know, as you're sharing, I guess you want to make sure the person, how they're treating the information that they're giving you. You know,
absolutely.
Are they judging you? Are they condemning you? Are they trying to manipulate, control, or change you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to stay aware. And I think that's what the book really tries to get us to, the point where we just stay aware and see what we see and hear what we hear. Because sometimes when once those emotions get in, we can't see. Everybody else is telling us, but we can't see it because we've gotten so emotionally involved. But if you take those steps and go through those steps, you know, they're not as rigid. They kind of flow. They're fluid steps. But when you do those due diligence, when you seek the Lord first, and then when you try to find out information about the person and really see and hear if it's what you thought it was, you'll know when you get to a point where you feel really safe to open up. And you just put little things out there first, like you said, and see what the reaction is. See,
now,
you know, wait a week, see if it comes back to you.
True. You talk a little bit about, you talk a lot about, you know, the age factor in terms of knowing yourself better when you're older as opposed to when you're younger. And I actually lost my train of thought. I had a great question there, but it's going to come back around to me. It's not a problem there. Talk about dreams and sharing your dreams with someone, and dreams being something that is God-given. What are some things that we should look for when we're sharing our dreams with another?
Well, one, you want to make sure it's a safe environment. Once you feel like it's a safe environment, just don't tell all of the dream. Just tell pieces of the dream. I mean, remember, Joseph, you know, he told all his dream, and that got him in a heap of trouble. So, you know, it's better, you know, if you want to share something. You know, I tend to be a person that does not share a lot. But, of course, once my husband and I got married, we've had a long history. You know, I can just go right to him and share everything, just spill everything out. But when you get to know someone, maybe you might want to tell pieces of it, see what the reaction is. You know, and it's the natural, because people will do what's natural for them once they're comfortable with you. You know, and if the natural reaction is to get condemned or say, yeah, but I don't know, or no, don't do this, do that, you want to listen out for those things. And if you hear those things, you might want to retract a little bit, because I don't think this might be a person that you might want to share your dreams with, because you have to have someone who's going to be supportive and even helpful, prayerful. You know, those types of things. But you don't want someone who's going to control you or knock you down.
Yes, we don't want that. We've had enough of that in our society. I actually have remembered my question. It has to do with people in your life that love you and support you in other areas, whether it's, you know, work, church, family. And when you're in a courtship relationship, does it differ from when you're younger and when you're older? Does it differ in terms of how much input you take from those around you that love you, or is it the same?
I do think it differs. And it differs in so many different ways. Of course, when you're younger, you want to embrace the support of a loving family. Because we can't always assume that people have loving families. But embrace the support of a loving family, loving friends, loving church members, support system, those who have proven to be a support system. The younger you are, you want to embrace that. Because the wisdom, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, seeking wise counsel. The wisdom can be just help you so much, save you so much more time and so much trouble and so much heartache. So you want that. Even if they embrace the fact that you're going to be with this person, many people who have gotten married as teenagers that have survived it have had some strong support system.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, church, family, all of that. They were just encased around them to help them. So that is always a good thing. But at any age, when a person who seems to be a support system is negative and pulling you apart and just bringing a lot of drama into the situation where there's really no reason, you really want to check that and make sure that this person is a support system, because they may not be. And you can mm-hmm. always tell by the end result. And so you have to be very careful, because when the two people get together, once finalized, you don't really need anybody else kind of interfering in that. So you really want to make sure that the person is really being an advocate, you know, for your best interest and not trying to rip you apart. But, of course, the older you get, the wiser you should be. But that's not necessarily true. So, of course, the support of your friends and church family are always welcome, but you should have a little bit better handle on who you are and what you need and that type of thing. But don't forsake any wise counsel at any time. You want to always embrace that because, again, people can see you and you can't necessarily see yourself.
Well, you know, like you said, we should be at a certain place when we're older. As our time draws to a close, I was wondering if you could just share a few quick nuggets from the book in terms of wisdom, because you have these wonderful, she has these hearts in the book with these wonderful quotes on them, just full of wisdom and experience. If you could just share, you know, just some nuggets in terms of, you know, how to move forward and how to think and breathe through this this step of life.
Yeah, relationships are such a natural part of life. I mean, that was one of the things that the Lord was very, very concerned about with Adam. I mean, when he was there, he was sitting in the garden looking lonely, and the Lord said, hey, this is not good. So he made woman, and he was very, very happy and very, very excited. And it's just a wonderful thing when God puts it together. And so we have to really, before the emotional part comes, we need to be very, very proactive about our relationship life, because the Lord really wants us to enjoy it. That's why he put it here. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to have a good time. He wants it to be fulfilling. But we need to do the work to make sure that we're hearing from God and this is the person that he says, yes, this one is it. You can take that one and that you will be very, very happy for. Because if not, you're going to get into a relationship and it's going to break up. And you're going to get into another one and it's going to break up. And with each breakup, it does something to your heart and to your soul. And we have to always, especially as Christians, be open to love freely without any hindrances. Because even when you have a broken relationship with the opposite sex, even in your friendships, it spills over to your friendships, in your work relationship, it spills over into everything, because it's like a cancer. So we have to protect our hearts so that we're able to freely love. And one of the nuggets I put in my book, one of the quotes I put, is that it's better to separate before marriage than after.
Mm. Yes, yes. I really like that one. And sometimes, you know, people don't want to go through it, whether they're embarrassed or are afraid of losing the dream, fantasy of finding love. But you're absolutely right. It is better to say no before than to say no after, where it comes with so much more baggage and pain and scars. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you and where they can purchase the book?
They can go to wisecourtship.com. It's the same title as the book, WISECOURTSHIP, wisecourtship.com. They can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, my website, gotony.org, and it's Tony with an I. You can go to any bookstore, and if they don't have it, they can order it. And I'm also traveling. I'm doing a speaking tour and book release party tour in all of the major cities. And so you can go to my website and get a lot of information about that.
And now Cora Jakes did the foreword for the book. How did you get the manuscript into her hands, and what was her impression about it? Because she really felt that it was very valuable.
Yes. Well, I knew of the family for a while, helped in the ministry for a lot of years. Mostly spoke with the one of the other siblings, and then later spoke with the parents, you know, off and on, but not on a very, you know, intimate level, just, you know, very casual, with a lot of events that we were kind of all around. And I was really being prayerful on who I wanted to write the foreword of the book, and I thought that I wanted the mother initially. But, you know, God laid her on my heart. She's younger than I am, and can really speak to the younger, a little younger generation. We're not old by any means.
But there's a difference. She's
a little younger than us, which I think she can speak to that generation. She's been married for some years and very happily married, and I thought she would be a great candidate. I was so excited when she said yes. She wrote a wonderful foreword about the benefits of premarital counseling.
Right.
And, she, you know, she just was very excited to be part of the project, and she just so excited. We just recently got some news about hundreds of people that have really, really been blessed by the book. So she was very excited about that too as well.
Well, thank you for joining us. Next week we're going to have a group called The Tank sharing their music and their ministry with us. But as always, it's a pleasure to hear about how we can live our lives for Christ more effectively. And what's great about the Word of God is that it's true for all who will apply it. There are the laws of living, not that we're living under the law, but God's Word is so powerful that if you apply it, you will see the fruit of it no matter where you are in your life. So just step out and trust Him, and you will see that reward. And until we all can find our perfect love song, I'm going to go out with this one by B.B. and C.C. Winans. And everyone, be blessed. Be your own best hero, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has given His very best for you.
Somebody who cares. When I found you, found my most intimate prayer. When I found you, I found what every heart dreams of. When I found you, I found love. When I found you, I found the rest of my life. When I found you, I told all others goodbye. When I found you, I saw my fears fly away like a dove. When I found you, I found love.